Hello everyone, I'm Dr. Rajeshwari Rappatta and I'm back here again at the podcast, The Anatomy and the Art of Healing. Today we'll be continuing with the spinal nerves. The spinal nerves are the major nerves of the body within the peripheral nervous system. These nerves are integral part of the penis. In that way, they control motor, sensory and autonomic functions between the spinal cord and the body. There are 31 pairs of spinal nerves and these are located at the cervical, thoracic, lumbar, sacral and coccygeal levels. There are 8 pairs of cervical nerves, that is C1 to C8, 12 pairs of thoracic nerves, that is T1 to T12. Then there are 5 pairs of the lumbar nerves, L1 to L5. 5 pairs of sacral nerves, that is S1 to S5. And 1 pair of coccygeal nerves, that is CO1. Each of these nerves branch out from the spinal cord, dividing and subdividing to form a network connecting the spinal cord to every part of the body. In that way, these nerves are spread whole of the body. Spinal nerves are structures which receive the sensory informations from the receptors of the peripheral body and then transmits these informations to the CNS. Similarly, the spinal nerves transmit motor commands from the CNS to the muscles and glands of the periphery. So these brain's instructions can be carried out quickly. While we study the anatomy of spinal nerves, these spinal nerves are relatively larger nerves which are distributed evenly along the spinal cord and the spine. The spine is a column of vertebral bones which protect the spinal cord. The spinal cord is situated inside these vertebra and these spinal nerves are large as they are formed by both the sensory and the motor nerves, roots which are merging together. And these nerve roots emerge from the spinal cord. The sensory roots, these emerge from the back of the spinal cord and the motor nerves emerge from the front. Each of the nerve root comprises of approximately 8 nerve rootlets and as they join together, they form the spinal nerves which project off from the spinal cord. The spinal nerves are formed within a few centimeters of the spine on each side. Some groups of the nerves, they merge to form a large plexus of nerves, whereas some divide into smaller branches without even forming a plexus. Spinal nerves further emerge from the spinal column through an opening between adjacent vertebrae and these are called as the intervertebral foramen. From the intervertebral foramen, they emerge and they come out. And this is the case for all of the spinal nerves except for the first pair. So the first pair which merge between the occipital bone and the uppermost vertebrae, that is the atlas, axis and atlas. Coming to the types and the functions of the spinal nerves. As the spinal nerves contain both sensory and the motor fibers, therefore they have both sensory and motor functions. For sensory functions, the spinal nerves receive sensory messages from the skin, internal organs and the bones. These spinal nerves will then send these sensory informations to the sensory roots before reaching the sensory fibers at the back of the spinal cord. For the motor functions, the motor roots receive the nerve messages via the front of the spinal cord, and then these get transmitted to the spinal nerves. Eventually, this information is sent to the smaller nerve branches, which will activate the muscles of the limbs and the other parts. So this is the functions in short. Coming to the cervical nerves, there are 8 cervical nerves on each side of the spine, that is C1 to C8, and these are located at the top of the spine near the cervical vertebra. So through this it comes out through the cervical foramen, and these cervical nerves C1, C2 and C3, the first three, these cervical spinal nerves help to control the head and neck, including moving it forward, backward and sideward. These movements are carried out, controlling the movements. C4, it helps to control the upper shoulder movements as well as helping to power the diaphragm. C5, it helps to control the deltoids and the biceps, the muscles of the arm. So, the areas of the upper arm down to the elbows. C5 helps in controlling these muscles. C6 helps to control the wrist extensions with some supply given to the biceps. C7 helps to control the triceps as well as the wrist extensor muscles. C8, it helps to control the hands as well as finger flexion, the hand grip. So you know that these spinal nerves help to form the brachial plexus, through which it also helps to control all these muscles. The cervical nerves C1 to C5 can form a cervical plexus through the merging of these nerves. These can divide into smaller nerves which can carry sensory messages and provide the motor control to the muscles of the neck and shoulder. Likewise, a brachial plexus can be formed by the combination of the nerves from C5 to thoracic T1. So this plexus can branch into nerves which carry sensory messages to provide the motor control to the muscles of the arm and the upper back. So this is how the cervical nerves, and in combination with the T1 forming the cervical plexus as well as the brachial plexus, help in controlling the different muscles and carrying the sensory messages. Now coming to the thoracic nerves. The thoracic nerves, that is, there are 12 pairs of thoracic nerves, as we know, on each side of the spine, T1 to T12. Located at the thoracic vertebrae of the spine, and from here these T1 and T2, these thoracic spinal nerves supply to the top of the chest and arms and the hands. T3, T4, T5, these nerves supply into the chest wall as well as aid in breathing. T6, T7, T8, these nerves supply into the chest and down into the abdomen. T9, T10, T11 and T12, these nerves supply into the abdomen and lower into the back. Now coming to the lumbar nerves, these nerves just are situated below the thoracic nerves. And these are 5 pairs of the lumbar nerves on each side of the spine. L1 to L5 vertebrae, located near the lumbar vertebrae of the spine. So L1, these lumbar spinal nerves provide the sensations to the groin as well as to the genitals. L2, L3 and L4 provide the sensations to the front of the thighs and the inner side of the lower legs. They also help to control movements of the hip and the knee muscles. L5, it provides the sensations to the outer side of the lower legs and the upper foot. They also help to control hips, knees, feet and toe movements. L5. So these lumbar nerves L1 to the L4 can combine to form the lumbar plexus, dividing into nerves that carry sensory messages and provide the motor control to the muscles of the abdomen and the legs. So till now you are seeing three plexuses, that is the cervical plexus, brachial plexus and lumbar plexus, which are formed with these spinal nerves, different spinal nerves. Now coming to these sacral nerves, it is called as sacral nerves because it is present at the sacrum and are related to the sacral vertebra, sacrum. So further down, there are five sacral nerves situated on each side of the sacral spine, located at the sacrum. S1, that is the sacral spinal nerve number 1, that affects and helps to supply to the hips and the groin area, or the muscles near the hips and the groin area. S2, these nerves help in functioning the muscles at the back of the thigh, both the thighs. S3, these nerves affect the medial buttock area. S4 and S5, these nerves affect the perineal area. So the nerves, spinal nerves from the lumbar 4 to the sacral nerves S4 can form the sacral plexus with the merging of all these nerves from L4 to S4, and this plexus can divide into nerves that carry sensory messages and provide the motor control to the muscles of the legs. So in this way the sacral plexus is also formed. Then is the coccygeal nerve. Finally, at the base of the spine, there is one pair of coccygeal nerves on each side of the spine, located at the coccyx, the tailbone. CO1 it is called as, and these spinal nerves innervate the skin around the coccygeal region, including around the tailbone. So in this way, the different spinal nerves are formed and help to carry the sensations as well as giving the motor supply to the nerves and help in the movement of the muscles where they supply. If suppose there is a spinal nerve damage, what can it lead to? So the symptoms which can be experienced if damage were to occur to these spinal nerves, there can be pain which may be mild to severe, changes in the sensory sensations can happen, weakness of the muscles can happen, there can be diminished or weakened reflexes, there can be feelings of numbness, there can be lower back problems if the region which is supplied by the concerned nerves are affected. Tingling sensations in the limbs can happen. There are certain conditions which can affect the spinal nerves. Those conditions can be compressive neuropathy. Now this condition can occur when the spinal nerves get compressed. And this can happen when the nerves that exit the spinal cord become trapped or swollen. Then it can become extremely painful. This condition typically affects the older people, and the effects can be temporary or long-lasting, or sometimes permanently destroying the spinal nerves. It can also happen due to trauma or injury. Another condition called as herniated disc, also known as slip disc, this can occur when the vertebra of the spine, including the cartilage, ligaments and the muscles, get disrupted, and this disruption can cause the vertebra to slip out of the space. So the herniated disc can also cause nerve compression and usually causes neck pain as the first symptom, accompanied by sensation of tingling, numbness and weakness in other parts of the body. A herniated disc can cause permanent damage to the spinal cord as a result. One more condition, that is trauma. The spinal nerves can also become damaged either mildly or severely after traumatic accidents, depending on the type of the accident, varying from mild to severe. Trauma to the neck can come as a result of falling or blunt force to the neck, for example. And this trauma can result in swelling, stretching, or tears of the cervical spinal nerves or the cervical plexus. Lifting heavy objects or blunt force to the lower back can result in the lumbar spinal nerves or the lumbar plexus to get damaged and then leading to severe lower back pains. Another kind of example is the spinal infections. So types of spinal infections can include disc infections or spinal bone infections, typically causing inflammation and pain which may travel to the other parts of the body. The spinal infection may begin near the spinal nerve roots and then it will take place on the spinal nerves which branch from it and affecting those nerves as well. One more condition that is called as Guillain-Barré syndrome. This is a condition which attacks the myelin sheath, the protective insulating layer which covers the neurons. As this is a demyelinating condition, the sheath is destroyed and it can weaken the spinal nerves over time and can cause weakness and the tingling sensations all over the body. Eventually, it may even impair the muscles which control the breathing. So, treatments of the spinal nerve damage depends on the type of condition and if there is an infection or inflammatory problem. Anti-inflammatory medications sometimes manage the milder symptoms. Similarly, mild nerve pain is managed with over-the-counter medications, specific exercises, physical therapy. It's all recommended by the doctors to alleviate the pressure caused by the more severe spinal nerve damage and thus reducing the overall pain. In severe conditions, the orthopedician is consulted and the specialists are consulted for further treatments and management of the condition. So that's about the spinal nerves and the clinical applied anatomy of the spinal nerves. In the next podcast, we'll continue with the conditions again. So this is for today. Signing off from the Anatomy of the Art of Healing. Keep listening. Dr. Rajeshwari Rapta signing off.